reading from the Gospel of John. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon.
A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food.
The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans."
Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?"
Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back."
The woman answered, "I have no husband."
Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true."
The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us."
Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you."
Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something."
But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about."
So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat?"
Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor."
Many Samaritans from that city believed him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done, So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world."
The word of the Lord.
We've talked about being in the wilderness and water in the wilderness. I've been on various trips, and maybe you have too, where you've been in the wilderness, and the role of water that you experience in the wilderness. It reminds me of time that I took a group of teenagers many, many years ago when I was doing youth ministry. We did a trip to the Sierras. And there was one place as we were climbing up. We started at Convict Lake, and we were going all the way up to Lake Dorothy. And as we were going up, we were climbing up this trail, and there's one spot as we follow along this beautiful, beautiful creek that is so full of water and that is coming down. And there was a time that we needed to cross that creek in order to continue to follow the trail and go on. And as we looked at that creek, we realized that there was no way we were going to be able to just cross the creek finding the rocks. We were going to have to actually get into the water and cross the creek, and the water would be up to our thighs. And so we tried to explain to everyone that one of us would go across first with the rope around their waist, and they would go to the other side, and then the other of us, and that was me, would sit on the other side of the trail, of the creek, with the rope around my waist. And each one would unbuckle their backpack, and they would walk, not crossing their legs, holding on to the rope, trying to get across this creek so that they wouldn't go down, so that they wouldn't lose their stuff and everything else. But we gave them complete instructions. And there was always one kid. And in this trip, it was always that kid who didn't remember all of the instructions. And he didn't undo his belt. And he crossed his legs as he was going across. And all of a sudden, here he is holding on. His feet are behind him, and things from his pack, like some of our food, is going down the creek. Macaroni and cheese going down the creek. Every time we turned around, Brian was wet. He was wet. Oh, yeah. A different Brian. He's probably a little older than you now. Brian was wet. Every night at the campfire, Brian was the one with a stick with all of his clothes, trying to get them dry so that he would have something to wear the next day. We had other kids that were loaning Brian what clothes they could so that Brian had something to wear. But Brian was always the one who was wet. And it was one of those trips. And I think of that gushing water and the refreshment of it, but also the danger of that water, that rushing water that you discover in the wilderness. In a case like that, you would take your Sierra cup to get a drink of water, and it could just whip your Sierra cup out of your hand. And so there's that rushing, abundant water that you can find in the wilderness. But also in the wilderness, you find those places where the water is flowing, and it's comforting, and it's peaceful. And as you sit there next to the water, your soul is revived and refreshed just from the sound of it. And you reach down with your cup, and you take some of that water and you drink it, and it's cold and fresh and clean, and it tastes better than any water you've ever tasted. water in the wilderness. And then there are those times that you go in the wilderness and you go for a while without seeing water. And you're dependent on that water that's in your canteen. And you start drinking the water, but you drink it just sparingly because you don't know when the next bit of water is going to come, when you can refill that canteen. And that water maybe tastes kind of warm. It is not the best tasting water, and yet you're so thirsty that it does taste pretty good. And maybe when your canteen is empty, you have someone next to you who offers you some water from theirs. And you're so thankful that somebody else still has some water to share. Water in the wilderness. When you're thirsty, it does more for you than just the physical quenching of thirst. Water nourishes, whether it's the physical, but also the social, also the refreshing and the sense of being connected to God's creation. It calms, it energizes, and it freshens. Jesus met this woman at the well, and he immediately recognizes her thirst. It's kind of funny because on a day like today, you read that Jesus says to her, "Would you give me a drink?" And you all think, oh, we can't share our cups. We can't drink from each other's containers. We think of it that way. But she had that same kind of reaction because the idea that a Jew would be asking her for a drink was unheard of, because Jews and Samaritans did not share dishes. They didn't share dishes because of different understandings of cleanliness and ritual cleanliness and other kinds of dynamics that went on between Jews and Samaritans. So she was shocked when Jesus asked her for a drink. What? What are you going to drink with? You're going to drink out of my container? I'm a Samaritan. Don't you know that? You see, Jews, when they wanted to go somewhere, and if they had to go through Samaria, that was really remarkable because generally they would go around Samaria. They would go the long way to avoid being around Samaritans. And so here is Jesus sitting at this well with a Samaritan woman asking her for a drink. This is remarkable. And this is one of the places where this woman is shocked, because there should be no conversation going on here. Not only because she's a Samaritan, but because she's a woman. Men and women didn't have those kind of conversations in public. So the idea that not only is he asking a Samaritan woman, a Samaritan, for a drink, the idea that he's asking a woman in public for a drink is also a crazy notion to her. But then there's also this thing of the fact that she is there at the well all by herself at noon. Women went to the well as a social activity. Yeah, they had to go to the well to get their water for their activities and for the things that they needed to do during the day. And they usually went in the coolness of the morning to the well to get their water. But they all went at the same time so that they could catch up on what's going on. They could gather together. They could share in conversation. And here is this woman coming in the heat of the day all by herself. And I'm sure when she sees this Jewish man sitting there at the well, she went, oh. She did not want to see anybody at that well. That's why she went at noon. But Jesus recognized something in her. He recognized her deepest thirst. And that was that this woman was isolated. This woman was someone who, for all different reasons, had isolated herself. She didn't have friends. And then not only that, the isolation that comes between ethnic groups that don't get along, the isolation that comes from being men and women in a society that doesn't allow women to be all that they can be. This is her deepest thirst. She is experiencing isolation. But Jesus offers her living water. Now at first she says, great, give me this water because then I don't have to come to the well anymore. She doesn't see this living water as the answer to her isolation, the answer to her real thirst. She sees that it's the answer to one way that I don't have to encounter other people. Because for her, the hurt and the struggles that she's had in her life have caused her to want to be isolated because it's the least painful thing. And yet it is her deepest, deepest thirst. Jesus offers her living water. And she says, give me this water. And then he starts to ask her a question. He asks her a question. He recognizes her deepest pain. Go get your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. And he said, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. That's all he says, though. He reaches in, and he just touches, and he says, this is where you're thirsty. If you want this living water, you have to understand, I understand your thirst. I understand what you're going through. You see, a woman in that day did not divorce anybody. A woman in that day could be divorced because the man would choose to divorce her. Or a woman of that day could be that her husband has died and then someone else has to marry her in order to help her survive. And after five, everybody says, what is wrong with this woman? And so she has to resort to just living with a man who will support her in any way possible. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that thirst that she felt inside of her? Jesus touches it, and then he backs off, and he talks about living water. So first of all, he talks to her. He breaks that isolation by having a conversation with her, despite all of the rules of society. And then he touches her just enough to let her know he understands why she's thirsty. She changes the subject. And she brings up a theological difference between Jews and Gentiles. There, I lay it out for you. You think this, I think this. What's the truth? And Jesus takes her question seriously. He doesn't say, hey, you're avoiding the subject. He doesn't. He takes her question seriously. And he answers it seriously. She can't be used to something like this because men don't talk to women like this. But Jesus takes her question seriously, and they have a serious dialogue. And then, where she lays out something that divides them, he brings them together. The day is coming. In fact, it's already here, when it doesn't matter where you worship God, in the temple or on the mountain. Because God is here with all of us. And Jesus brings them together. He takes her seriously. He has a serious conversation with her. There's a mutuality about that. And then he reveals himself to her. She says, when Messiah comes, we'll know the answer. And he said, the one you're talking to is the Messiah. He reveals himself to her in a way he has not revealed himself to anybody else. He is transparent with her. He shares who he is. He's vulnerable. He shares this with this woman. And then she realizes what's going on. It hits her what he has just said. And she goes running back into town to tell people what is going on. And when she does that, she now becomes an important person in her community. Jesus has now reconnected her to her community in a way where she is now someone who has something to give her community. She's not somebody who's just going to be felt sorry for and people are going to care for her necessarily. But out of her isolation, as she receives this living water from Jesus, she finds a new place in the community where she is the one who brings the good news to the community. She becomes important in her community as she is reconnected to this community. Jesus has touched her and given her living water. And she's tasted it, and we know that because she left her jar by the well and went running into town. She had tasted living water. As we know people all the time who are experiencing isolation. We know people who are struggling because they're alone, for whatever reasons. And now it is accentuated because of the COVID-19 virus. Let us be people who offer living water. First of all, let us realize that Jesus is offering each one of us living water. Let us use this time, even if we find ourselves not being able to be as social as we would like to be, to find new and creative ways to connect with Jesus, to allow Jesus to nourish us and to quench our thirst. Take time to study Scripture. Maybe you don't do that very often, but make the time to do that. Take the time to pray. Be praying for all of your friends and loved ones and the people that you can think of who are around you who may be struggling during this time of isolation. But allow yourself to drink that living water that Jesus offers us every single day. And then minister to each other. Find creative ways that we can minister to each other. Call each other on the phone. Send each other a note. Find ways that we can help and serve each other. We can call each other, text each other, email each other, send notes. We can listen to each other. When we get on the phone with someone, listen to what they're really saying. Discover what their needs are, and then try and figure out a way that we as a community can help to meet those needs. But then allow them to minister to you. Allow them to be important in your life. You're not just calling them to make them feel better, but allow them to minister to you, to pray for you, to help you to be important to you. And then really share. Really share. Let it be meaningful. And then take time to pray together. I don't know if you've ever prayed on the phone. Once you do it a couple times, it's really not hard. But pray together on the phone. And then connect to the community. It may be just by sharing news, by listening for news, by reading the emails, whatever mail that comes in the snail mail. If you find something that you if you discover something, call the office. Let us know what's going on. Call each other to let each other know the news. Let's be community together, even if we're not in the same space. And then maybe even suggest that the person you're talking to, especially if they don't talk to very many people, maybe you suggest that they call somebody. Be a matchmaker. Think of people who should be talking to each other that maybe don't talk to each other and introduce them. Get them talking to each other. Be a matchmaker. But let us be like Jesus. First of all, let us receive the living water that Jesus gives us. Let us be nourished and strengthened by that living water, even during difficult times. But let us be the ones that help others to discover that living water that Jesus offers to us. Let us be ones that help people who are in isolation. Not just now. Let's practice now. When we really need to do it because we know that we have people in isolation. But let's practice because even after this is over with, there are going to be people who are still struggling, who are still struggling in isolation for all sorts of reasons. So we need to be the church then too, even when this virus has passed. Let us show that living water, present that living water to the people around us who are thirsty. And in this time, let's take advantage of the fact that Jesus offers each one of us that living water. Let us drink from that water and be refreshed and renewed and strengthened in order to serve. Let us pray. Our God, we thank you that you do love us and that you care for us, that you offer a nourishment, that you offer us that living water that quenches the thirst that maybe we are not even aware of in our lives. We pray that you will help us to receive that living water from you, but then help us to be able to present and share that living water with the people around us. I pray that you will lead and guide and move in each one of our spirits so that we will know what you would have us do, especially during this time, but even afterward. Our God, we thank you that you are somebody who loves a Samaritan woman who comes to the well so that she doesn't have to see anybody, who experiences thirst that we don't even, maybe even understand. That you love that woman. You offer that woman living water. And you offer it to us too. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.